God, who formed us by hand and whose breath breathes life, we come with grateful hearts into this time and place of worship and praise. We bring with us our whole self, including those things that constrict us and try to suffocate away the abundant life that you give. With a long list of conflicts around the world this week, we think particularly of the Ukraine and old rivalries and pride that stagnate the air and deprive us of breath and life. Help us to leave those fears behind and fill us with your Spirit today and throughout this Lenten season of preparation. Help us to draw strength with every breath we take, that we might be sent out to offer peace to others. And now, my brothers and sisters, let us pray together number 9 on the Lord's Prayer card. O most compassionate life giver, may we honor and praise you. May we work with you to establish your new order of justice, peace, and love. Give us what we need for growth and help us through forgiving others to accept forgiveness. Strengthen us in the time of testing that we may resist all evil. For all tenderness, strength, and love are yours now and forever. Amen. At this time, we want to turn our hearts and minds to the reading of our scripture. Our two readings today come from Genesis and then from John. Let us listen for the word. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man, the dust from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. The reading from John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
For any of you who don't know him, I want to introduce Matt Berryman. Matt is executive director of the Reconciling Ministries Network, which is the organization that nationally and globally works for a fully inclusive United Methodist Church. He will also be one of the leaders of our LGBTQ retreat, which is coming up in April. So Matt, would you stand up? This is Matt Berryman. And he'll be glad to meet you after the service. And if you have any questions about Reconciling Ministry Network, the trials, all that's going on in the movement for a fully inclusive church, I'm sure he'll be glad to spend a minute or two sharing with you. Let's pray for one another. Be aware of the person sitting on your left and aware of the person on your right, and let us bow our heads. The person sitting on your left may be someone very close to you, or it may be a stranger. praying for those we live with and love and those who are close to us is important. Praying for strangers is important. So lift whatever words come into your heart and mind, whatever feelings, whatever thoughts, for the person sitting to your left. Hold up the person sitting to your right before God's presence. Pray for them as the Spirit guides you to pray. Pray for yourself that you might be open to God's presence and healing, God's challenge within your life. And if you prayed for someone today that you don't know personally, make sure that you shake their hand after the service and give them a smile of encouragement. Amen. So let me say a word about the series that we are doing in Lent. And since this is the first Sunday of Lent, the series that we are beginning today that will continue through Easter Sunday. It's part of our overall theme that we began last December and which will continue until the end of June. And our overall theme is strengthening our core. It's about how we can be strong, healthy, and well-balanced people of faith and a strong, healthy, and well-balanced congregation. The people at my gym tell me that you become stronger, healthier, more balanced by strengthening your core. And while your core is officially from your shoulders to the top of your legs, the heart of your core is actually right here. And the stronger we are physically right here, the stronger and more balanced and healthier we tend to be throughout our body. And so we're asking the question of what is our spiritual core? Where if we are strong at our spiritual core, we will be stronger and healthier and well balanced throughout our spiritual self. Now, this particular series for Lent, we are calling Life Essentials. And it's about basic things in life that are important for physical and emotional health. Things like breathing, eating right, sleeping, bathing, exercising, crying, and laughing. And here's our thesis. Our thesis is that the ordinary essentials of life can be means through which we may be touched by divine graces. The church explicitly says this about two daily essentials of life, bathing and eating. The United Methodist Church has two official legal sacraments, baptism, which is a bathing ritual, and communion, which is an eating and drinking ritual. And part of the meaning of these rituals is to say that every time we bathe, we can remember that we are spiritually made clean by the forgiving grace of God in Jesus Christ. So every time we shower or bathe on the outside, it can be a reminder that God is constantly forgiving us and cleansing us and making us new on the inside. Every time we eat and drink with one another, we can remember that we are spiritually fed and nurtured by God and by the communities of grace and acceptance that we are part of. So every time we sit down with friends whom we love and trust to eat and drink, we can remember how God and our communities of grace feed and nurture us. So those are the two official sacraments, but I think that there are many aspects of our ordinary daily lives that are like sacraments. that are what we call sacramental, sacrament-like. They are ordinary, mundane activities of life through which the grace of God can flow into our lives. So we've come up with a list of these seven to focus on in sermons during Lent and on Easter Sunday. Actually, the staff brainstormed more than seven, and then we picked out the seven that we wanted to focus on: breathing, eating, sleeping, bathing, exercising, crying, and laughing. And this morning we want to start with one of the most elemental, basic elements of life: breathing. So to get us started on thinking about breathing, Pastor Dawn is going to have a conversation with Candace Autry, who's a teacher of Kundalini Yoga, which is a form of yoga that focuses a lot on breathing and breathing exercises. So Candace, if you'd come up, and Pastor Dawn, Candace may actually even help us do some breathing this morning.
Candace, welcome. And so the yoga that you practice is Kundalini?
Yes.
Can you
tell
us? Funny name. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us how you got started in yoga and why it's essential for you?
I got started with yoga, and it helped me feel calm, grounded through a loss that I was struggling with. And I also work with adolescents, about 80 adolescents, Monday through Friday, and it helps.
You need to breathe.
Right? 13-year-olds, you know, they're beautiful, but yes, it helps with that, too.
So how essential is breathing in the practice of yoga?
Essential, fundamental. It helps. It can help keep us calm. It can also bring us strength when something gets a little difficult. But more than anything, it can reduce anxiety, reduce stress when we consciously think about our breath.
Do we have any people out here that practice yoga? We have any yogis out here, up here?
Yeah.
Good. So Pastor Dean mentioned that you might be able to lead us through some practices. Would you do that for us?
Absolutely. And actually, this was a request from, have a seat, a request from Dean. So this may be a little funny, but you know, just about a minute of this. First, identify your right hand, and you want to find your right thumb. All right, and you're going to take your right thumb and plug your right nostril. You know, it might sound kind of funny. And try to point your fingers towards the ceiling. All right, so take a breath in through your left nostril. And then swing your pinky around, close your left nostril, and breathe out your right nostril. Yeah. And then swing your thumb back around to your right nostril, breathe in through the left. Swing your pinky around, and plug your left nostril. It's kind of, you're swinging your thumb and your pinky. And I'll be quiet in a minute so you can just calm down, but you might want to close your eyes and just maybe breathe in for a count of 3 seconds and breathe out for a count of 3 seconds. Then relax your hand down and just take a big breath in through both of these nostrils. Might feel kind of interesting. And just let it out slowly. And thank you.
I particularly like your calm, soothing voice. I think I'm going to try to talk like this the rest of the service. Friends, let us give thanks to God for Candace Thomas.
So we want to think about breathing. Let me mention that some of the ideas that I'm going to share this morning are from a video by Rob Bell called Breathe. And I encourage you, it's about the length of a TED Talk. And I encourage you to find it on the internet. All you have to do is Google Rob Bell Breathe, and it'll probably be the first link to pop up on your screen. And I'd encourage you to find a few moments this week to watch Rob Bell's video. Let's start with a story in the Bible about when God called Moses from a burning bush to send him to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt to freedom. This conversation is the beginning of history. During the conversation between Moses and God, Moses, who'd rather not do what God is asking him to do, Moses says to God, "If I go to lead the Israelites to freedom and someone asks me who sent me, what should I tell them?" Basically, Moses asked God, "What is your name?" God answered by saying four letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In English, they would be the letters YHVH. This is an unpronounceable word. It's an unpronounceable name because there are no vowels. Scholars added vowels, and so we pronounce it Yahweh for convenience sake, but really it's unpronounceable. And then some scholars thought that maybe if you thought up some words and verbs to put in it, it might be translated, "I am who I am." And so in most of our Bibles, when Moses asked God, "What is your name?" and God answered, YHVH, it is translated as, "I am who I am." But that's due to a lot of speculation and guessing on the part of scholars. There were ancient rabbis, writers of Midrash, who thought that vowels and extra words should not be added to what the Bible has written. They said that the four Hebrew letters would be pronounced Yat Ha Vaha. Yat Ha Vaha. And that this was actually meant to represent the sound of breathing. They argued that the name of God was really the sound of our breath. What if the old rabbis were right? What would it mean if the name of God is the sound of us breathing? Now go from that story back to Genesis. The book of Genesis begins with this statement: "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters of chaos." The Hebrew word translated wind is the word ruha, ruha. Everybody ought to say the word ruha with me when I go one, two, three. Ruha. One, two, three. Ruha. It's the word for wind, but it can equally be translated as either wind, spirit, or breath. The New Revised Version, which we usually read from when we read scripture here, says a wind from God swept over the waters, which were chaotic. The King James Version said the Spirit of God was upon the face of the waters. The Knox translation says that over the waters already stirred the breath of God. And each translation is equally valid. If Knox was right about the writer's intent, it is possible that creation in Genesis began by God breathing, and that the Yat Ha Ve Ha breathing of God is what began to bring order and rhythm and patterns out of chaos. Now jump ahead in Genesis a chapter or two to our first scripture reading that Ben read for us today from Genesis 2, which says that God fashioned Adam. The Hebrew word for human being is Adam. It was a generic term for a human being before it became the name of a specific person, Adam. Genesis 2 says that God fashioned Adam, a human being, out of the dirt of the earth, and then breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. It is the breath of God, or the Spirit of God, or the wind of God, entering into the pile of dust that is Adam, that gives Adam life. What if God is somehow intimately related to your breath and to my breath? Psalm 150 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." What if God is somehow in the breath of all life? In our second reading from the Gospel of John, the risen Christ, the disciples, after the crucifixion, have locked themselves in a secret room for fear that someone's going to find them and crucify them too. And in the reading from John, the risen Christ walks through the locked door of the room where the disciples are hiding, and Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What if the Holy Spirit comes into us and goes forth from us like our breath? What if the way the Holy Spirit is passed on is when someone who is filled with the Spirit breathes it on me, and I breathe in the Holy Spirit and then breathe it into someone else? I've been trying to do some reading about breathing. Apparently, most of us are shallow breathers. We don't breathe in very deeply. We breathe air into our lungs. But actually, we're supposed to breathe air into our bellies, not our lungs. Because for most of us, and especially for some of us, our bellies are bigger than our lungs. And so when we breathe, to breathe really well and to get the full benefit of breathing, we should breathe into our bellies. And then we should exhale from our bellies. But most of us breathe only a little bit of air, of new air, into our lungs instead of into our bellies. And it may be that one of the reasons we do this is because we don't want to give up the air already inside of us, because somewhere there is within us a fear that if we let all the old air out, what if there isn't new air to come in and to take its place? This is why when we are anxious, it's often important to stop and to just take some deep breaths, because at a very, very core level within ourselves, it reminds us that air will always be there. If we let go of what's inside of us, there'll always be new air, fresher air, to take its place. We can't take in fresh air without letting go of the old air, which is almost like saying we cannot take in new life unless we are willing to let go of and die to our old lives. I think the breath of God, the spirit of God, the wind of God may be like breathing. From the moment we enter this world from our mother's womb and we come into the world and we breathe our first breath, God's Spirit is entering us to give us life, and if we will receive it, life abundant. I think the Spirit of God dwells in everyone who has breath. I think God wants us to breathe God's Spirit in deeply. In physics and engineering, I'm not an expert in this, but in physics and engineering, there's a kind of problem students are asked to solve that's called a Fermi problem. Fermi problems are problems about probability. And one of the most famous of Fermi problems students get assigned somewhere in their education in physics, one of the problems they get assigned to solve is called Caesar's breath. Has anyone ever heard of the Fermi problem of Caesar's breath? Any physicist? Well, here's the problem. The problem is to determine how many molecules of Julius Caesar's last breath you and I are in all probability breathing right now. And there is a long and complicated mathematical process used to determine this. But the answer is that each of us is breathing at least one molecule of Julius Caesar's last breath right now. Apparently, if the physicists are right, we are all breathing the same molecules that every living being has breathed throughout all of history. We breathe the same molecules that everyone who lived before us has breathed, from Jesus Christ to Hitler, from saint to sinner. We all breathe the same air. And we breathe the same molecules of air that every other human being alive today on planet Earth breathes. Apparently, air circulates the Earth so that there is no African air, there is no Asian air, there is no American air. We all, wherever we are on the planet, breathe the same air. If you have someone that you have such strong feelings about that you say to yourself, I don't want to breathe the same air that they do, you're going to have to stop breathing to accomplish that. We all breathe the same air, not in some sort of general sense, but concretely, we all breathe the same molecules of air that everyone else living on the face of the earth today breathes. And those who follow us here on earth, after we have stopped breathing, will breathe the very same molecules of air that are giving us life right now. And the stories of the Bible say that God is somewhere in this. It is God who gives us breath and who gives breath to all of life. Breathing is sacramental. It is a means and sign of grace. With every breath, we receive a grace. Each breath is a way that grace enters our lives. I want to encourage you this week to try an experiment, to take one, two, or 3 minutes every day to consciously breathe. 1, 2, 3 minutes. You might do it at the beginning of the day. You might do it at the end of the day as you're preparing to sleep. You might do it at whatever point in the day you find yourself most stressed out. To take 1, 2, or 3 minutes to just sit with your back straight and to consciously breathe. If it helps, you can breathe with your hands pointing up the way Candace taught us, or you can simply breathe. I'm very appreciative for the lessons that we learn from other traditions, including the tradition of yoga. But Christianity has also had practices and traditions, many of which have been lost, because we made the focus so much on ideas and doctrine and what we think with our head. But there are long old traditions within Christianity that are practices that we do with our body. And one of them that's a centuries-old tradition is breathing prayer, in which persons sat and they prayed to the rhythm of their breath. The most common breathing prayer went like this. Inhale, Lord Jesus Christ, exhale, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Or you might, in a breathing prayer, pray for someone else. Oh God Almighty, help my sister. Oh God Almighty, heal my sister. Oh God Almighty, take care of my sister. Or you might pray the words of a familiar hymn. Breathe in me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. 1, 2, 3 minutes a day to remember that each breath is a gift from God. Each moment of life. Each breath is the Holy Spirit of God coming into us and then going out from us into the world. May God teach us how to breathe of God's breath deeply.